It's time for the big interview on the July 28th edition of Money Life. Joining me now, Lyle Fitterer. He is Senior Portfolio Manager at Baird, where he runs Baird Strategic Muni Bond Fund and Baird Muni Bond Fund, Baird Municipal Bond. And while they sound the same, there's one with Strategic Municipal Bond, one just Municipal Bond. It's about the breadth of the funds and some duration decisions. We may get into some of that as well. But if you want to learn about the funds, their differences, and everything else they do at Baird, go to BairdFunds.com. Lyle Fitterer, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Great to be here, Chuck.
Let's talk first about the bond market broadly, because while the stock market has gotten back to record highs, people have been pretty happy to overlook the bond market, and yet the bond market in general, clipping pretty nice coupons right now, and you're doing it without much risk. You know, while the market has been going up, it's not like folks think there's a lot more left to run. So your general take on where the bond market is, especially in light of the Fed not yet cutting rates?
Yeah, I don't think a whole lot has changed relative to where we were at the end of the year. And if you think about it, I've just pulled up the 10-year Treasury yield, and it's, you know, roughly around a 4.4% plus or minus. We started the year, I think, around 4.25%. Obviously, we've had a lot of volatility intra-year. But I think what we were telling people at the beginning of the year was, hey, absolute rates look pretty attractive in the fixed income marketplace. You can actually get some yield now. It offers some diversification. Spreads, if you look at it in the corporate sector, you know, how much additional yield are you getting to buy corporates or structured products, actually aren't a lot different today than where they were at the end of the year. We're near long-term lows if you look at corporate spreads and if you look at high yield spreads. You know, structured products, similar type of story. Again, had a lot of volatility there, and there were some opportunities maybe to add some risks throughout the period. And then if you look at the muni market, you know, one of the biggest differences is munis have underperformed year to date, primarily, you know, intermediate to longer term munis. There's been a tremendous amount of supply. You had some volatility associated with the tax bill and the potential that the muni exemption was going to go away. But right now, if you look at valuations, long munis are close to 100% of the yield on treasuries. And historically, that's been a pretty good time to buy. So again, our theme would be, just like you said, absolute yields look pretty attractive. You're actually getting a real return relative to where inflation is currently. And if you look at that relative to other asset classes, things look pretty compelling.
How much does that change if and when the Fed cuts rates? And will it take more than one rate cut for that to happen? Because the last time the Fed cut rates, we didn't really get all of the ancillary effects that we expect on rate cuts. And obviously, when you're looking at things like the 10-year Treasury, rate cuts don't impact the 10-year Treasury. But we didn't really get the full what we expect out of rate cuts. And I'm not sure we're going to get it this time. So when do you think rate cuts are coming, and how broad is the impact going to be?
Yeah, we don't have a huge view in terms of, you know, when's the Fed actually going to cut. I guess we would probably agree with the market, probably sometime this fall. It looks like, you know, I think there's obviously a lot of pressure on the Fed to begin the easing process. But if you look at the data, you know, the economic data has actually been relatively robust, and inflation data, while it hasn't picked up substantially, it's trended slightly higher. And I think a lot of people are still nervous about the potential impacts of tariffs and what's that going to mean on inflation. So one of the things I didn't mention earlier is that the curve has already steepened. You know, so if you look at it, short rates have actually come down. Longer term rates, again, are stable to maybe slightly higher depending on what market you're looking at. So the market is anticipating somewhat of a Fed move by the end of the year, and some of that's priced in. So what do we think would happen? I do think once the Fed starts to ease, you could probably see further steepening actually in the marketplace. But a lot of it, again, is going to be, and I hate to be the old cliche, but data dependent, right? We're going to have to see, you know, what is inflation doing, and are the tariffs going to have an impact on inflation while the economy potentially slows down, which gives the Fed, I guess, the cover to start easing? Or, you know, is inflation going to be relatively muted? And maybe when the Fed starts to ease, you'll actually get long-term rates that'll move down, and the curve's shape will stay relatively unchanged.
I mentioned the two funds. One of the key differences, as I asked you, since you run the funds, about them is you talked about how one of them makes much more of a duration play and is much more focused on duration, or can be more focused on duration. This is one of those times when it is. In other words, in the muni fund, which is covering the whole market, covering everything, you've got a much longer duration than you do in the strategic municipal bond fund. So why that right now? And, you know, given what we've seen in the yield curve, how long does a move like that where you're dramatically more focused on the short and intermediate end normally last?
Yeah. So again, I guess a couple of things to point out. That the duration lever that we can pull in the strategic fund is the last lever that we would pull. As you know from Baird, we're a big believer that it's very difficult to predict the level and direction of rates. However, we think there are inefficiencies in the muni market that allow you to do that occasionally. I think one of the biggest differences in terms of our strategic fund, maybe relative to some others, is we limit that duration bet relative to the benchmark as well. So this particular fund has a benchmark duration currently of around 4. We limit that bet to being plus or minus 2 years, and 80% of the time we say we'll be plus or minus a year relative to the benchmark. And actually right now we are about 1 year long. So we're, you know, a little over a 5 duration in that particular portfolio. Why? As I said earlier, munis relative to treasuries have underperformed. And if you look at where ratios are, especially on the intermediate to longer end of the curve, from a long-term perspective, they look pretty darn attractive. So we've been modestly extending our duration in that portfolio. That being said, the muni bond fund always has a longer duration. Its benchmark duration is the full market muni index. And currently, because of what's happened with rates, that duration is almost out around an 8 on an option adjusted basis. So a couple of difference there. And then the last thing I would point out is even within the strategic fund, we are doing some of what we would be doing in the municipal bond fund, which is trying to add duration exposure on the longer end of the curve, not necessarily 30 years, but more in the, say, 15 to 20 year part of the curve, because we think that's kind of the sweet spot right now. And then finally, I would just say that the other thing we've been doing in both of those funds and across all of our funds is what we would call an up in quality trade. So reducing our exposure to lower quality credits and increasing our exposure to higher quality credits.
As you talk about higher quality credits, what became a big story in the springtime for about a week was when Moody's wound up downgrading U.S. debt. I recognize you are a specialist in muni bonds, and muni bonds different from treasuries, et cetera. But there was a lot of talk about what the fallout would be and what that might do. Have you seen anything that even remotely resembles fallout at this point? Because it is the kind of thing, we got to talk about it, but we don't have to. Like, I think the reason it faded after a week was that nobody expected anything. But if it was going to have fallout, would it have it in ways that somebody would be saying, okay, treasuries have been beating munis, I like the structure of treasuries a little bit less, and I like the opportunities in munis more. I mean, is that something that plays out down the line?
I think that is potentially something that could play out down the line. You know, munis really aren't impacted by international investors. They're primarily purchased by U.S. investors. There is a taxable municipal market where international investors get involved, but it's pretty small. So the driver of performance in municipal bonds is really the U.S. investor. And a big component of that is, what do direct individual investors think about the market, the absolute level of rates, their worries about the muni market from a credit perspective. So relative to the treasury market, you don't necessarily have some of the international influences. So what's happened, you know, obviously everybody knows the dollar is weaker. Now, is that related to the fact that the treasury got downgraded? I would argue probably not. So really the impact from our perspective on a treasury downgrade is pretty muted. You know, I think a lot of people said that investors are going to, flee from the U.S. We don't think that's necessarily the case. I think there's still been a lot of interest in U.S. investments, both bonds and equities. You know, if you look at it on the corporate side, we've seen huge demand from international investors for corporate bonds. It's part of the reason why spreads are at or near historical tights within that sector. Why? Because it's really one of the only places from a global perspective where you can get long duration in the marketplace. And there's a big need from a global perspective for long duration. So again, I would just say that the short and quick answer is that the Moody's downgrade has had limited impact going forward. If it does impact the treasury market, probably has less impact on the municipal bond market.
There are folks who believe we will see something of a deregulation trade. We will see certain industries that, as they become deregulated, it frees up capital and it makes certain businesses do better. Well, now let's move that over to the bond side of things. What we have seen in the Doge world, in the cutting expenses world, et cetera, is a federal government that wants to put more of what needs to be done onto state governments. And if that's going to happen and it can't pass certain appropriations bills and the rest, it is going to wind up being states that are doing some of the infrastructure spending and the rest. Does that mean that we are about to have some sort of a boom in muni, state bond, et cetera, issuances because states are going to have to pick up the slack? And if so, when does that start to show up?
Very good question. And I think it's actually something we've been thinking about. Two components of that, I guess. One is the federal government going to push more of the burden down to state and local governments? So just in terms of cutting federal support for state and local governments, so that obviously has a credit impact. And you're already starting to see that to a certain degree. And then you also have obviously things like what's going on in Medicare and Medicaid. How's that going to impact state and local governments? You've got the whole talk about FEMA and the potential that the federal government's going to start paring back on FEMA payments. So what does that mean from disaster relief perspective? Does that have to go down to state and local governments? And state and local governments are coming off of, they pretty much spent all their COVID money. So, you know, if you look at it, we are past peak credit within the muni market. That's point one. Fundamentals still look pretty good. Rainy day funds still look pretty good within the muni market. So we're not calling for a doomsday. But again, I think you have to pay more attention to what's going on by state perspective and also how those states might push down those problems to the local level. So that's point one. The second point that you asked about was basically with state and local government, are they going to have to issue more debt? We've already seen that. If you look at issuance in 2024, you had record issuance and people are looking for record issuance again in 2025. Year to date, you know, I think we've had right around 320 or 330 billion. I think we're on pace to get to 580 to 600 billion in terms of total issuance. So you are seeing some of that. Now, some of that issuance was accelerated in areas like healthcare and maybe higher education because of some of the concerns surrounding those sectors and the potential that that tax exemption could go away. So that's behind us. But we've been saying this for a long time. The outstanding debt in the muni market really hasn't grown in the last, you know, 15 plus years. So relative to corporates, relative to treasuries, it wouldn't surprise us if you see it grow. And then, as we all know, there's a tremendous amount of what I would refer to as deferred CapEx in the muni market. Drive on a road, drive on a bridge, everything. So that infrastructure spending could definitely lead to more issuance. I think it'll be welcome. I think there's plenty of investors that want to buy it. I think there's plenty of demand for tax-exempt investments. But again, you could see supply pick up, and that could keep munis maybe a little bit cheaper than they have been historically.
It will be interesting to see how it plays out. There are a lot of unknown variables, but I'm glad to know that you're looking at them, and I'm really happy that you came and joined us and got a chance to talk with us about them. Lyle, thanks for taking the time to join me on Money Life.
Great to be here. Thanks, Chuck.
Lyle Fitterer is Senior Portfolio Manager at Baird. He runs Baird Strategic Muni Bond Fund, BSNSX, BSNIX, depending on share classes, and Baird Municipal Bond Fund, BMQIX. Learn more about the firm and its funds at BairdFunds.com. We've got much more to go on this show, including Patrick Healy from Caliber Financial Partners talking stocks in the market call. But up next,
danger, danger.
We are going to head to the baddest biker bar in the investment world. We're going to the danger zone with Kyle Guskey from New Constructs when Money Life continues right after this message.